Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Just Like Your Father. And I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. And I can't read through the whole chapter, and I'm going to recommend that you go do that. Matthew chapter 5. But depending on how you say, just like your father, it can be a good thing or a bad thing. And if you've ever, you know, in a positive note, you've looked at a kid sometime, and a mom will say, or a grandparent, usually a dad doesn't say this to the kid, but somebody will say, you know what, you're just like your father, and that's a great thing. But if you've ever talked to a divorced mom, and this can go either ways, you can have a dad, but sometimes the most cutting thing that you can ever say to a child when you're in trouble is to say, you know what, you are just like your father. And I don't think they mean it very nicely when they say it with that tone of voice. And if you've ever been in that situation, it's not a pretty thing. It's not a nice thing to have someone say that about you. And usually, and this is for anybody, mom or dads who are out there, when you think you're saying to a kid, you're just like your mother or you're just like your father, you may be venting and you may be expressing some anger and hoping it'll help you. But let me tell you something, it does not help that kid. The best thing that you can do for a child, especially in a divorce or a stressful situation, is to try to instill respect for the other spouse. It will backfire on you. And I've talked to too many kids, too many moms and dads, too many people who have had a parent use a kid to try to get to the other parent. And it does not work. It doesn't do anything but give you temporary relief and destroy that child and destroy that child's perception of the other parent. So hopefully if you've heard you're just like your father, it's a great thing. But a lot of times it's not. But today I want to talk to you about a father that you want to be just like. If you're going to be just like your father, then make sure it's just like your father in heaven. But before we even dive into the scriptures and get this too hard, let me tell you something. He's got to be your father before you'll ever be just like your father. For someone to be your father, you've got to be in a family. Now, there's two ways to get into a family. You're either born into a family or you're adopted into a family. And the scripture outlines that spiritually we are both. If you are a child of God, think of that word, you are a child of God, that phrase implies that you are in His family. You are His child. And that is either by birth or adoption. In our case, it is by a second birth. And in John 3, that outlines that, being born a second time, born again. It also talks about in Ephesians the fact that we have been adopted. That God has come along and said, you know what, I don't need you, I've got my son, I've got everything I need, but I've chosen you, I've come and said I want to adopt you into my family. So God has literally picked you and put you in His family. You'll have a hard time praying an Our Father prayer unless He is your father. And there are a lot of people out there, frankly, that prayer alone, the Our Father prayer, it's in the scriptures, so it's a great prayer, but there are people out there who just repeat it, maybe every day or every week or three times a day, and they just go through the words, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. They go through the words and it just doesn't seem to mean anything. It's just vain repetitions. Until He really is your Father and you are part of a body, a family where we can say Our Father together, it's not going to mean much. It's not going to mean really anything to you. It's just going to be words. It's not until you get into that family, you're adopted into that family, you're born into that family, that you will experience that family life. And where then you can be just like your father. Now, I was raised, for some reason, this is what I got. I was raised in an acting world, and it's interesting that I'm standing here on a stage. And think about the terminology that you hear growing up. You're not acting like a Christian. You need to act more like Jesus. You need to act like God wants you to act. Those are stage terms. And what we've trained kids to do growing up, and adults even to do, is we say, well, here's your costume. You put these clothes on for this particular setting, and you learn these specific lines. Now, whether you believe these lines or feel these lines or not, try to act in such a way that people will be convinced that this is really who you are and really what you believe. So as long as you can walk in onto the stage for your scene, and if your scene is being religious and you walk into some church, and the way you're supposed to act is to smile and make like everything's okay and wear a tie and a suit or whatever their deal is in that particular church, if you can just act your part long enough on that stage, then you'll make it. And people go, wow, what a great Christian, because you're acting like a Christian. Now, the tragedy to me is there are so many people out there who act like Christians and act like they love God and act like they know God and act like everything's working out, and they're trying to act like their father, claiming that God is their father, but it's not working. And they get tired of acting. And at some point, you don't want to act like anybody. You just want to live. You just want to be. And if things are great, they're great. If they're not great, they're not great. And you want to be in a place that's real, where you have real people who aren't acting anything. They're just living. And if life sucks, they say it sucks, and that's where you are, and you go on with that. And if life's great, you rejoice with those that rejoice, you weep with those that weep, and you hang together as a body, as a family, as a group of believers, and not this Lone Ranger thing, hoping you can fool a few people for a little bit of time and get out the door and then go back to living like you always live. I want you to be able to live here and there and be the same person. And if you come blowing in here on a high, then we're going to rejoice with you. But also to be able to look around and say, who's dying out there? Who's hurting? And are they acting like they're okay? And do they feel like they have to do that in order to be here? Now, if you're going to be just like your father, you're going to have to be in the family, and you're going to have to let his character and his traits and who he is live in you and through you. It's a great gene pool to be a part of, by the way. All right, look at Matthew chapter 5, and I've said this chapter is impossible. Okay, now let me tell you right up front, and it'll tell you at the end here to be like your father. It is impossible to live the Christian life. And if you're trying to act like a Christian and live the Christian life, I'm going to tell you right now, it is an impossible thing to do. And if you're having trouble with it, that's why. It is impossible to live like a Christian. The only way you're going to live the Christian life is with Christ. And part of this acting thing is people would say to me, you need, Richard, you need to be more like Jesus. So what I was doing was saying, okay, if I put Jesus over here beside me, and I walk beside him, and I watch him, and if he does that, I'll do that. I'm going to just mimic him. And it was him beside me. Let me tell you something. That's not what the Scripture talks about. The Scripture talks about not Christ being beside you. It talks about him being inside you. And about reckoning yourself, you're being dead and him being alive. So when you wake up in the morning, you might as well just start with this. God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do anything. I can't keep my body alive. I can't think the right things. I can't make the right choices. I'm telling you, I can do nothing without you. And I'm yielding my body, my mind, my spirit, my soul, my day, everything I am, God. I'm acknowledging that without you, I can do nothing. But with you, everything is possible, and I'm yours, and I yield myself to you. Now that's how you're going to live the Christian life. And the problem is we get cocky. We get self-confident, and I'm not saying self-confidence is a bad thing, but you better have more than self-confidence. You better have Christ confidence, God kind of confidence, or it's just about self. It's about you, and when it runs out, you're in trouble. You're better off to start and say, I can do nothing, and then say, God, you got to do everything. And these things that Jesus outlines, and I'm going to just give you one of them, and I'm really encouraging you to go back. He talks about marriage, adultery, going the second mile, murder being something that's in your heart. But let's pick up with verse 43. He says, you have heard, this is Jesus speaking, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, that's a no-brainer. That's the Old Testament. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. We all do that. But Jesus comes along and says, I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Now, why is it that no one ever believes much that we are really God's children? Because we don't look like Him. We don't live like Him. Not that we don't act like Him, we're just not like Him. And Jesus came along and says, here's how they'll know that you're sons of your Father in heaven, because you do the impossible. You bless those who curse you. You do good to those who hate you, and you pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? What have you done if you love someone who loves you? Nothing. That's easy. Do not even the tax collectors do the same, or the pagans, or the Gentiles here? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles, the tax collectors, do the same thing? And then here's the impossible statement in verse 48. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be just like your Father, perfect. Now, I'm not perfect. And there's no one that's ever been perfect but one man, and His name is Jesus. So if you can figure out to get your life connected with His life, there is a possibility that you can live a perfect life. Now, is it possible to live a day without sinning? It is possible. If it's not possible, then you might as well give up. The Scripture says that He's made provision if we do sin. The goal is to sin less and less and less and less. Now, I don't know too many people who have done this, but there are people in my life that I know that have gone, I'm not saying they can't sin, but let me tell you something, guys, the closer you get to God and the more you allow Christ to live in you and through you, the less you're going to find yourself sinning. That is one of the indicators that it's working. And you're not under some kind of sin quota. I mean, it's not like you wake up and go, oh my gosh, I better start sinning now so I use up my, you know, I got to keep sinning, I got to keep sinning. You make a deliberate choice to sin when you sin. And the Bible talks about the fact that we're drawn away of our own lust and entice. It's not God tempting us. So if you wake up, and this is kind of parenthetical a little bit, but let me give you a piece out of that Lord's Prayer. And if you're a believer, I recommend praying that every day. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Those are all things about you, not about me. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, basic stuff. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And listen to this one. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, why would you pray that? I thought God couldn't lead you into temptation. Now, this is the way I live it and understand it. If I wake up in the morning and I say, okay, my day is going to be hellacious out there no matter what. The devil's going to try everything in the book to tear me down, to take me out, do whatever he can. And if that's the only way, if God has to allow me to walk into that sniper fire to get my attention, to cause me to turn to Him, so be it. But if you'll start in the beginning of the day and say, okay, God, here's the deal. I know because I've lived enough days that when I walk out this door, and I don't even have to get out of the bed before I get hammered, I'm going to get clobbered. I'm not interested in doing that today. I'm asking you right up front, don't lead me into any temptation and deliver me from evil. I'm requesting it right now before we ever move and go an inch. I'm not interested in going out there and getting clobbered today. Now, if there's something that happens and it's just part of the day, fine. But I don't want to add more problems to my day than I'm already going to have. I think something happens. And I think God says, okay, we don't have to go that way because you're asking up front for wisdom. Why do you spank kids? You spank kids to get their attention and inflict a little bit of pain so that they associate the pain with the behavior. And next time they go to do that deed and that behavior starts to come out, they say, wait a minute. Last time I did that behavior, this discipline, you know, I got hit from the front and then I got hit from the back. And I don't, you know, there's an association where a kid stops and says, you know, I think it would be wiser because of my previous experience to maybe pass on this behavior. And what God is trying to do in all of our lives is say, look, if you'll come to me first and ask me and pray for wisdom, let's bypass some of this pain. There's enough pain already. You get in a situation, and you get two people that are not married. They get in a situation. They can't keep their hands off each other. You know, it's a great thing they're attracted to each other, but they get somewhere and the devil says, man, it'll be so fun. God will forgive you. Go for it. And the lights are right, the air's right, the music's right, everything's right except the behavior is wrong. And the second you do what it is you think is going to be so great and do, he smacks you on the backside. And the pain and the consequence of all that and the guilt and the shame, you say, oh no, well everybody's doing it, must be okay. You can't fool your heart. It's not okay because it's not okay. It doesn't work, especially if you're a child of God. So you say, God, you know what? Why don't I get this? Why is it that every time I get in these situations, I don't see beyond it to the end of it? I only see the temporary pleasure. And that's what sin is. All day long, the devil come along and say, hey, flip this person off in traffic. You'll feel better. You say, well, I can't believe he said that. It happens every day. Christians, non-Christians, somebody's flipping me off out there. I don't know. You say, well, that shouldn't be the thing. You say, well, maybe you've acted a certain way here, and then you're who you really are out there. I'm talking about making it the same. See, there are these things the devil says, well, do that, say that. Don't bless anybody, curse them. That's where you're going to feel better. And Jesus comes along and says, no, that's not where you're going to feel better. You're not going to feel better. The situation isn't going to be better. They're not going to feel better. It's just going to compound the problem. Just stop and say, God, let me see it from your vantage point. What do you think about it? What would you do here? And then let him live in you and through you in such a way that you get out of the way. And when you have an impulse and a reaction, you say, okay, God, is this it? If you don't know, ask him what to do. Because you have asked for wisdom and previous experience, you say, you know what, God, last time we did this, it wasn't pretty. Let's not do this again. And you stop long enough and say, Father, deliver me from this temptation, this evil, the evil one, and let's just live the way you intended for us to live. Verse 48 again. Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's the demand. And thank God that Jesus fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law. Let me read you one other spot. Go over to Ephesians. And if you don't know where these books are, I always say this. Look at the table of contents in the front or somebody around you. If you see somebody lost in their Bible, help them find it. Ephesians. And look over at chapter 5. If you find Galatians, Ephesians is right after that. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. And here's how he puts it here. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. Now, you say, well, you just said don't act like Jesus. No, he says be imitators of God. Find out who God is. You're not going to find out who God is without reading this book. And I'm going to hammer this till I'll probably never stop hammering it. You've got to read the Bible. If you want to know what God thinks and who He is and what His character is like and what He feels about you and thinks about you, read the book. Go home today, read it. Tomorrow morning, read it. The next day, read it. Memorize it. Put it in your heart and your life. It'll change you. But He says here, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. My kids, they say whatever their mother says. Just how it works in my house. They don't say what I say, of course. But they say whatever their mother says. And I'll hear them saying these terrible things. And I think, well, you got that from their mother. But these kids, you hear some kid pop off with some curse word. And everybody's shocked. Like, where do you think they learned it? Now, they either learned it at home or school. Somewhere. They're little friends. But these kids are learning it. They're imitating us. They're following us around. And they're going to do what you do. They're going to be what you are. I want to be like my dad. In some cases you say, well, I don't even have a dad. My dad left at whatever age, so you don't even know what that's about. You don't know who to imitate. Imitate this Father. Be imitators of God as dear children. Say, God, I want to be just like you, my Father. I want to know who you are, what you're about. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And then I've already mentioned some of this stuff, and it's in the book, verse 3, but fornication, that's just a big word for sex outside of marriage, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God has come upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Your life, if you're going to be like God, if you're going to be just like your Father, is going to be different, guys. And I've been watching this personally in my own life and watching it in some lives and people. And I got to tell you, in some cases, one guy looked at me this week. He says, do you see any change in me? And it is a very slow slope with this guy. It happens to be somebody who orbits through here about every 4 to 6 months.
You say, well, wow, he ain't going to make it very fast. No, he's not. And it's not about going to church. It's about being a part of the church. But if you're a part of the church, you're going to gather with the church sooner or later. You're going to show up. And you're going to want to encourage and be encouraged by these people. But there are people in the church that you can see the growth. And if you think about it and you look around, there are men, there are women, there are children who something is going on that is unexplainable other than God has changed their heart and He's changing their life. And the words that come out of their mouth, the actions, their behavior is changing. Now, they're not perfect yet, but they're on that plane. They're not trying to attain perfection in the sense that, oh God, I'm going to be good so you'll love me. All this stuff comes out of knowing that He does love you, and you live a life and you yield your life because you want to please Him and you want to say thank you to Him for what He's already done. All right, let me flip you over to 1 Peter. Go to the right. If you find 2 Peter, it's right before that. 1 Peter, and let's start with chapter 1 and verse 13 over here. 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's pick up with verse 13. And if you take notes and write all this down, I highly recommend go back and read everything before it and after it. Of course, that would be the whole Bible, but anyhow, that's the point. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, he says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance." So let me stop on verse 14. Either have obedient or disobedient children. And we are either obedient or disobedient children in God's family. And it is a no-brainer. I've got an 18-month-old, a little older than that, in the house right now. You know what? She can't say yes for nothing. But one of the first sounds out of her mouth is no and go. She can get rid of you and stop you, but she can't say yes. And everything you ask her, her answer is no. And she's got the head movement now to go with it. She doesn't want anything. It's the most natural thing to be mean, to say no, to be selfish. She's got mine down now, too. No, mine. I mean, she's got all the things to make her really happy in her life. You're either obedient or disobedient. She's learning that there's consequence if she doesn't obey. And sometimes it's not just because we're right. She'll get burned, literally burned, if she doesn't obey. She reached up and touched a pan yesterday. Got by the stove. She may not do that again. If she does, she really needs help. Because it shouldn't take but one time on some things. But we reach our hand back in the fire over and over and over and think, why do I keep getting burned?
Richard Ellis will return in a moment to wrap up today's talk with a few final words. But first, I want to share some important information about the program. The reason we do this is to share with you the good news. When you open your heart and life to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning point of the most amazing journey you'll ever experience. But it's also a journey that we want to join with you. So if you've been on this road for a while or just getting started, let us know how we can help. Maybe you've got some questions, stuck in neutral, or even wondering how to take the next breath. We're here. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. We're here to celebrate with you too. So if this program has made a difference to you and encouraged you in any way, tell us about it. Let's keep this conversation going by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also send us an email through our website, richardellistalks.com. That would really make our day to know how Richard's talks have helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or email us through the website, richardellistalks.com. And speaking of the messages, you can find today's talk along with every message from Richard at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we really believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute to this ministry by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. We would be so grateful for your gifts. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. You show me someone who is not a Christian. They're out there, eat, drink, be merry, tomorrow we die, let's party. What else is there, frankly? The weekends are made for Michelob or whatever you got. If that's the truth, what else do you have? Go have a good time. If you're trying to fill some emptiness and have a great time, that's all there is. But guys, let me tell you something. That's ignorance. I'll say maybe you're just ignorant. You don't know there's anything better. And that's what he addresses here. He says, as obedient children, don't conform. Don't be like you were when you were ignorant. You've got no excuse now. If you're a Christian, you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. You know there's a better way. And if you go back to that old stuff, ignorance at some point becomes stupidity. It becomes foolishness.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.